on today's Compassion Radio.
I have never, Bran, in my entire life, seen so many grown men cry.
Oh, yeah.
They had never owned a study Bible.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God in every nation on earth. You tune to the daily radio ministry journal known as Compassion Radio. Thanks for being there, friend, as we wind down the last few days of 2017. To that end, please keep Compassion Radio in mind for your end-of-year giving. We rely on the generosity of our listeners, and we could not deliver our stories from around the world without your generous support. Feel free to reach out to us by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478 or online at CompassionRadio.com. We are so pleased to welcome back our special guest today, Charles Morris of Haven Today Ministries. And it's been exciting to see and hear about some of their new projects in the Middle East. But the topic on the table today is an area considerably closer to North America, but no less mysterious. Here again is Bram Floria to get us started.
Well, back with me today is Charles Morris. We've been talking a lot about legacy issues, what God's been doing in the Middle East, how his ministry at Haven Today has been growing and expanding their vision, and how God's bringing many more people into his camp to work together to accomplish great things in this generation and in this century to complete the Great Commission. Charles, welcome back to Compassion Radio one more time.
Bram, thank you. It's good to be back on with you today. Thanks for having me.
We're getting to a rhythm here, which I really enjoy, because as I start hearing what God's doing your heart, it's like pinging a bell. Things that God's been ringing in us for the past 15 and 20 years, how Norm Nelson led the ministry of Compassion Radio through a period of devotion music, similar to what Haven Today has been doing, and also turning our eyes toward where God is doing something fresh and new around the world. And for Norm, that change happened in China. And for you, it happened, as you said, yes, to going to where the hotspot is in this generation, which was Iraq and the Middle East. So, however God brings us to that point of being aware of what's happening internationally, it changes the way we think and the way we plan. Now, you got really excited about how the gospel is penetrating in miraculous ways. So, you've turned your eyes to some new field that no one's reaching out to very effectively yet. And that, as I understand, is the country of Cuba. So, Charles, tell us what God's doing in and through Haven Today now in the country of Cuba.
Well, Cuba's always fascinated me. I am thinking of a missionary flight organization that serves the Caribbean, and I've been into Haiti a number of times and made the promise that when Cuba opened up, I would get to be on the first flight there. Well, the Lord didn't work it that way. We have a supporter of our ministry in South Florida. He's a medical doctor, radiologist, and he goes on every tour that we have to Israel. He's been after me for, I don't know, 8-10 years. You got to go to Cuba. Got to go to Cuba. I've been. Want you to come. And finally, on our last time, well, I guess it was probably now about 2.5 years ago, he said, you've got to go to Cuba. And he got me an invitation to visit from the president of the Cuba Council of Churches, which is an evangelical group in the country of Cuba with connections with every major denomination that's active and at work there.
Yes, they do.
So we went in.
I know that's how Norm and Cher traveled together back in about 2005, 2006, somewhere in there. They did a visit through and toured east to west with that group.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought back lots of stories of denominations working together that you would never even think of considering working together in the States. But there's such a revival going in their own worship and their own fellowship that they are suddenly evangelical again.
Right. And the numbers are just going up, you know, so much. I mean, mm-hmm. 40,000 house churches under Raul Castro, more pragmatic than his brother Fidel. Raul realized that the country needed hard currency coming in. It's kind of like somebody that was there when the Pope visited told me this, a pastor. He was invited. The Pope had asked to see the Castro family privately. Hmm. This friend of mine was there, and this was when Fidel was still alive. The Pope stared down Fidel and said, "You need to lose your ideology so that you can take care of your people." Now, by that, he was not, he wasn't saying you need to go capitalistic or you need to hold free elections or anything. He was referring to the fact that your people are still undergoing starvation in certain areas and at certain times. Fidel took it, but at that point, when that conversation took place, Fidel's health was poor. Raul had already been the president of the country for a number of years. And of course, in 2018, Raul is going to give up what he does. But anyway, I went into Cuba. I took in a few business people with me. There were about a dozen of us. I didn't know what else to do. So I just said, well, let's go in. We're going to get some programs to do on the radio, but let's see what's happening. Let's just be spies in the land. Let's be Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, and so every morning we would pray that.
And have the spirit of Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah. And what we discovered was there was this great shortage of Bibles.
Yes.
We came back to the United States. I was very fearful. We had never done anything like this. I was praying that the Lord would let us raise money for 10,000 Bibles. Mm. 2 years later, we've raised 185,000 Bibles. And
congratulations.
And,
good news.
And it looks like putting that in the pot with Bible societies from several countries around the world. Early next year, we're going to reach 1 million Bibles. But
amen.
Just to see the hand of the Lord and to go home and realize, I've just seen the greatest revival at work in the Western Hemisphere. And we've met with everybody. You know, we've met with the head of the Assemblies of God. 20,000 of those 40,000 house churches are with the Assemblies of God. We met with the head of the largest non-charismatic denomination in the country. And like you said earlier, they get along. You just see what the Lord is doing.
It's an interesting synthesis, too, of the house church concept with a more traditional church in the way they would think geographically. I know that most of the house churches kind of expand from within and create these large auditoriums in the footprint. You would never imagine there'd be a church in there.
Yes.
But they can literally work the construction in such a way that they'll knit together like row houses and stuff and create a room for 500 or 1,000 people at one time, which is fascinating to me. They guys stuff it all in there like that. But it's because there is such an opportunity and need. They have to be able to worship together. And something happens. We all know this. You go into a church that's full of enthusiasm and excitement, and the room is full, not just with bodies, but with the spirit of the living God.
Yes. And something changes, you know, when, of course, the spirit of the living God comes over them. I'm thinking of just one church of several that I've been to as we started raising money for Bibles to send in. And it takes like 6-7 months to print them in South Korea. There's a way to legally send them in through this Council of Churches, the Cuba Bible Commission, which is under that council. And they distribute to everyone that's there. Anyway, there's nothing like being in a church and a service and handing Bibles out. The average income in Cuba is $30 to $40 a month.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible costs $5. People can't afford a Bible.
Let's camp on that thought for a second. How many of our listeners and partners in our ministries would sit down and say, oh, yeah, that's a great investment. I make $60,000 a year, so I need a Bible. I'm going to go out and spend $1,800 on one copy of it for my family because we need it that badly. But they would do that in Cuba.
Yes, they would. And to see children, we'd pray each time about something that we could take over on the plane with us. One time it was a few hundred copies of the Jesus Storybook Bible by Sally Lloyd-Jones. We were going to take it in Spanish.
Good book.
And a week before we go, Zondervan calls me, that's who puts it out, and they say, oh, I'm so sorry, the shipment of your Spanish Bibles hasn't arrived from where we had it printed.
Ooh. Oh, no.
Could we just give you at cost a bilingual Jesus Storybook Bible, and we'll just give it to you at our cost. And I'm very disappointed. I was planning just to take the Spanish version. Well, it turns out the Lord, in his timing, of course, which is always the best timing, it turns out every child in Cuba is now learning English in the school system, the government communist school system.
Very good.
And so by giving out bilingual, it means they can learn English with this.
Yes, they can.
But also the parents can read along with them.
We've seen with some of our Bible partners in Eastern Europe that something similar is happening with students in the high schools, that suddenly there's a great desire among youth young believers in all of these secular and very atheistic countries to have a dual language English and native language Bible in their lap. And the people are fascinated being able to read the scriptures and learn their English across the page from there. In the meantime, they're getting a double dose of the Word of God, which is pretty fascinating.
It really is. It's amazing just to see what the Lord is doing. And what we don't realize, I think, in the United States is what the Cuban people have endured.
Yes. That's true.
Castro turned. He nationalized the U.S. businesses there. Mm-hmm. The U.S. cut off all support. Sugar was banned. We used to get most of our sugar from Cuba until Castro took over. And he turned to the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, as a requirement for their aid, asked for Bibles to be banned mm-hmm. and churches to be closed. Yep. And they were. When the Soviet Union fell, there was great hunger
yes.
in the country.
Pent up.
The weight of the average Cuban fell by one-third over 3 years
yeah.
because there was great hunger in the land. The upshot of that, though, what I'm seeing today, when I've been there, there still is some hunger, not nearly what it was before. And you don't see this if you go in as a Canadian tourist or a German tourist to the areas that have been turned into resorts on the beach.
Right.
But this spiritual hunger is much greater than any of the physical hunger that ever took place in the country.
Yes, there is.
There's a window open right now for the gospel, and I think that's why the Lord let me go in.
And to expand on that metaphor then, they have a spiritual hunger that is not abated. Question for us in the West and the people just north of Cuba is, do we have the stomach for taking to them the thing that will satisfy their hunger? And I'm proud of you, Charles, for taking your team in there to open doors and provide ways to connect publishers and donors with the churches. What a marvelous story about the dual language Bible accidentally, but which means God worked it out, being what he provided right. for them at a time when they were even hungrier to learn both. So I'm glad for that opportunity.
I trust you're enjoying this compelling conversation on today's Compassion Radio, and we'll get right back to it in just a moment. But first, a word from Cher Nelson on the impact that you and I can make on our annual year-end Operation God's Word Bibles for China campaign for new believers in China.
We know, we've had statistic after statistic about this, that for every Bible that is received into the hands of a believer who's asking for it in China, at least five other people will come to Christ through the gift of that Bible. Now, this is because any person who gets it will share immediately with their family and with their relatives and with their neighbors. And the Bible will be read to a number of people. You want everybody to hear this good news that you are now able to read. So, in effect, the number of $6 that you give that provide a Bible will determine how many souls may enter the kingdom because of you. So you are, in effect, being an evangelist, and the number of people who receive Christ as a result of the Bible or Bibles that you contribute will be directly connected to you.
What a way to make an impact. Friend, you have the opportunity to make that kind of impact on the life of a fellow brother or sister in China who want nothing more than their own copy of God's Word, the Bible. How many would you like to send in these closing days of 2017? Norm Nelson used to offer a suggestion of perhaps sending five Bibles for every Bible that you own. Give us a call today at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Or write to us at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at our safe and secure website, CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to our program.
And I hope that we as a Compassion Radio team will be able to get in and be involved with you in the future about that particular project, because we've been very passionate about Bibles over the past 20 or 30 years. In fact, it's our big push this
yes.
month. The end of the year is usually our big focus, and for us it's Bibles for China because of all the work they're doing bringing the gospel back across the Silk Road to all of the Muslim majority countries and all the Stan countries, as we call them, that were part of the Soviet sphere of influence. But it's happening all around the world now that doors are opening in new and unique ways. At the same time, other doors doors are being radically closed or being crushed again. So persecution is not something that's disappearing. It's kind of rolling like a ball around the globe, and it pops up and flares up in weird ways that we're not expecting, but God knows. He knows when they're going to need the Word of God to sustain them through the next round of persecution.
Amen.
So that's one of the reasons why your ministry and Compassion Radio have both been very passionate about making sure that when the window is open, that we pass as many Bibles through as we can and get people educated on how to use them and get them excited about being part of the global Christianity, which is the kingdom of God. So thank you, brother, for doing this in Cuba. What else can you tell us about where the church in Cuba is going?
Well, it's kind of like China. Everything's complicated, and everything is true somewhere.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm always amused when somebody comes back and they've made their trip to Cuba and they tell me, oh, you can't do this, and I know of two other places where you can do it.
It's always this way. It's never not.
Yeah, and I'm just excited because the ministry I lead is 84 years old. We were founded in Hollywood, California, a long time ago. At many board meetings, since I've been the speaker and the president, we've talked about Spanish. And finally, the beginning of February next year, we're going to be doing a Spanish broadcast directly into Cuba.
Awesome.
And I'm very excited about that. And it's going to be Cuba-centric, a producer helping gather stories in Cuba. I never knew that the Christian music in Cuba is different.
Yeah,
it's
it is.
More of a, as a gringo, I'd call it salsa music.
Exactly.
It's unlike the Mexican Christian music that I've heard. Kind of a Caribbean beat to it, but yet it's got its own uniqueness. We're not just going to be teaching the Bible and coming alongside the churches where this great revival is happening. There's a lot of Christian musicians in Cuba.
Yes, wonderful musicians, too.
It's a very artistic people group. We're going to be able to launch them. We'll be the only outlet that will play Christian music all the way across the country.
Wow.
We're kind of excited about that. Plus, a solid Bible teaching every night on the only Christian station that will be covering the entire country. And this big transmitter goes on the air the end of January. Back to the food, though. We don't think about this. And if you go in as a tourist in one way or another, you don't really see this. But one of our drivers, two trips back, was speaking to another driver that we had. This guy was like 22, 23. He leans over to the other guy, and I don't speak Spanish, or I'm not fluent in Spanish, but one of our translators overheard the conversation, and he said, I haven't had beef in 5 years.
Mm.
It goes to show you that, one more time, they were very happy to have that, but everyone we met was happier to receive the gospel.
Yes.
They were happier to receive a Bible or a children's storybook Bible. Or the first time we ever went in, I was just praying about, Lord, what could we do that they might need? And it dawned on me, maybe a study Bible in Spanish. And so we found out what study Bibles were in Spanish, not many. So we got the NIV study Bible in Spanish. We took it in. We took in about 250 copies. We met with denominational leaders from four different Protestant denominations. We were at three seminaries, and we met with pastors of large churches, and along the way, we would give them a study Bible. We would say, would you like this? I have never, Brand, in my entire life, seen so many grown men cry.
Oh, yeah.
They had never owned a study Bible. Hmm. One seminary we went to, we counted eight books in their library.
Yeah.
They go to school forever. Their literacy rate in Cuba is higher than the United States. And yet,
but their knowledge level can be very low.
Well, that's right. And what do they need the most? Pastors will tell you there, and they're not advocating their communist government. They're saying we don't need capitalism. What we need is Christ.
Yes.
And that's the difference.
And that's not a naysay about capitalism.
No,
it's simply that
not
capitalism
at all.
Is not the answer for the soul condition.
That's right.
You remind me of a story that Norm told. And this is one of those stories he couldn't say without tearing up himself over all those years. And we're talking about a man who had been with hardened warlords in Afghanistan, had been in the very heart of the church movement in the belly of China. But something special happened to him in Cuba. He and Cher were having dinner with a young guy who was going through seminary, probably would be given a home church mandate to be sent out. And that very question had come up about beef. It was such a luxury. In fact, they went out of their way to serve a meal to Norman Cher that included beef.
Well,
which costs them an arm and a leg.
And hard to come by.
Very hard to come by.
You'd buy it on the black market is how you'd get it, and it would be very pricey.
And when they sat down, it was kind of a chewy, maybe like a fajita type meat or whatever. They ate very little and made sure they shared with everybody at the table because it was such a treat for them. And they all were savoring it, like, oh, I haven't had beef forever. And it was stringy. It was the type you probably would have sent back to your chef, but because it was such a contrast and such an opportunity to do something that was forbidden you so long, it was a great gift. But at the end of that meal, Norm and Cher are presenting a little gift to these young seminarians. They put some money in an envelope to help with a building project that we were involved with then. And they also handed out a few Bibles and laid them on the table. And the oohs and ahs over the meal went to weeping over the Bibles.
Well, it kind of makes you reevaluate your own life when you hear a story like that.
Yeah.
God's word is powerful. We forget that. We maybe remember it at certain points in our life, like maybe when we were saved or maybe when we've just seen the Lord at work. But, you know, when you're on the front line of a revival, you're seeing God's word working all the time.
And the revivals never happen without the word of God.
That's right. The two go together.
It's an outflowing of actually knowing it and experiencing it. So I want to encourage our listeners, our Compassion Radio partners that are hearing this program and this great interview with Charles Morris from Haven today. Maybe it's been a while since you cracked your own Bible open. Remember, not by shame that others are more committed than you, but hear from those who are experiencing revival what happens when the Word of God is opened. Consider that not a challenge, but an encouragement and a love affair again, that God wants to reach out to you with His love letter. Take 5 minutes today, open it up, and jump in. You're going to find Jesus there on every page. We know that intellectually. But we experience His presence by getting close to Him in the room where He lives. And that biggest room is His Word. He's inviting us into His great feast. So I encourage you to crack open that treasure that you probably have sitting on a couple of desks in your own home at your office. Enjoy and savor the Word of God and let Him encourage you. Charles, you have a last word for us and maybe a prayer to wrap up this time? Because we want to be encouraging and praying with you about this new adventure that you've got going in Cuba.
Bram, I think the best thing we could do is pray. Let me just lead us in prayer right now. Father in heaven, I thank you that your work on earth is not yet done, that the clarion call to the gospel is still ringing across the globe. It's happening in Cuba. It's happening in the Middle East. It's happening in hometowns all across America. Lord, would you drive all of us who love Jesus Christ and call Him Lord and Savior, would you drive us to our knees? Lord, how do you want our lives to change in a new year? How do you want us to serve you more and serve you better? Would your mercy and grace extend to us? Would your hands be on us? Would you show us your road that you have for us to travel? The road of grace, the road to lead others to faith in Christ. We do this because we await the return of our Savior, which we pray is soon. But we do this because we have tasted the good news, and it truly is good. And we know that this is the answer for everyone in the world, to all problems, to all issues, the forgiveness of sin and the power of the Holy Spirit to be alive and at work in us. Lord, in a new year, use us in mighty ways we never dreamed, all for the sake of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Friends, God does call us to walk many roads, but there is no more important road than going to where God is doing His work His way. And whether that's around the corner in your neighborhood, at your own church, or on the other side of the planet, do not resist God's call to follow Him to where He wants you to see what He's doing and be involved somehow. I encourage you, if you're listening to Haven today from time to time, support them. If you're part of our Compassion Radio team and partners, or have listened for a very long time and want to get more intimately involved in the projects we do and the places we go, contact us today. We'd love to hear from you, and I know that Charles would love to hear from you over at Haven today. Charles, thank you so much again for being part of our Compassion Radio extended family and for being with us on these past few programs.
Good to be with you, Bram. Blessings to you.
And that'll be a wrap on this two-day conversation on today's Compassion Radio. Now, if you were encouraged by today's discussion, be sure to pass it along via our podcast at CompassionRadio.com or simply point people to our website. Friend, don't miss out on our annual Operation God's Word Project. For your gift of $25 or more to our God's Word for China project as we close out 2017, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Whether you hang it on your Christmas tree or find another special place to display this unique piece of art, any way you display it, you're proclaiming your solidarity with the Christians in China and your faithful partnership with Compassion Radio. Let us know how many you'd like when you contact us today. Reach us at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or find us online at CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram and Sandy Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. We wish you the very best this Christmas season, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.